Welcome to the program today. My name is Keith Smith. I'm an instructor at Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School in La Mirada, and we're glad you've joined us here at Solid Ground. And this week, Pastor Brian begins a new study called God's Plan for Blessing, looking at Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. So let's go to Pastor Brian Parrish from the pulpit of Calvary Chapel, La Mirada.
Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Joshua. And this morning, we want to look at verses 1 through 4 and under the title of God's Plan for Blessing. God desires to bless our lives, and this is being unfolded in the first few verses of chapter 1 of the book of Joshua. And if you would please follow along in your Bibles as I read these four verses. It says, after the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, and as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. Excuse me. So as we come to the book of Joshua, it's more than just a book of history of how the nation of Israel came in and possessed the land that God gave to them. I believe there's also some typology that's going on that relates to our life as well. Now, some of the older writers used to speak of the promised land as entering into heaven, but there's a problem there, is that the promised land here in the book of Joshua has the enemies entrenched in it, and I don't plan on seeing the devil or my enemies when I get to heaven. I believe it's going to be peaceful and all is going to be under the authority and reign of Christ. So a better picture is looking at Egypt, how God brought the nation of Israel out of Egypt, out of bondage through a miraculous power, through deliverance, as that picture of salvation, of God rescuing us out of the bondage and slavery of sin, which was a cruel taskmaster, and now He's leading us into the promised land, which is more a picture of the Christian life that has great blessings and victories that God has for us, but also there is opposition, spiritual opposition, that would try and prevent us from coming into the things that the Lord has for us, that He's given to us. As the Bible does say that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ in the heavenly places. Also, Peter says that we've been given everything that pertains to life and godliness. And we need to learn how to access all the blessings that God's given to us. We need to realize it will be filled with opposition and conflict. And the book of Joshua shows us how to go into these promises that God's given to us and to possess them and to come into the fullness of what the Lord has for us. We need to realize that there will be opposition. As Israel went into the land, there were seven nations that they had to drive out. The Jebusites, the Hittites, and the feared Gazuntites, they were there in the land as well. They were one of the toughest groups that had to be disposed of. But God showed the nation how to drive out each enemy. God had a strategic plan for each one for victory. And as long as Israel depended upon the Lord and followed His plan and followed His word, they came into that blessing. But when they relied upon themselves or their own wisdom, that's when they were defeated. It's a wonderful picture of our life in Jesus Christ as well. The book of Hebrews chapter 3 and 4 describes entering into that land as entering into rest, is when we cease from our labors and we enter into the victory that Jesus Christ has given to us. And so there's much more than just history that's taking place. And today what I want to focus on is the fact that God desires to bless our lives, that He does have a plan for blessing. And I want to give you a short outline as to the four points we'll look at this morning. From verse 1 and the first part of verse 2, what I want you to learn is that God is not dependent upon human leadership. In His blessing, He doesn't need you or me. He doesn't need any one leader. His blessing depends upon His power and His strength. From the second part of verse 2, what I want you to see is God desires to bless an entire group. That God's plan to bless is for this entire congregation, really His entire church, and not just for individuals. Third, what I want you to see from verse 3 is that God's blessing involves both faith and conflicts. We walk by faith, but there will be opposition to the things God's bringing us into. And then from verse 4, I want you to see that God's blessings are conditional. They're not just going to happen. There's certain requirements that we need to meet on an ongoing basis if we're going to come into the fullness of what God has for our life. So let's look at verse 1 and the first part of verse 2, emphasizing the point that God is not dependent upon human leadership. It says, after the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead." Now, as we come to this point in the nation's history, obviously Moses was a great leader, someone they learned to depend upon. Yes, they murmured and griped and complained about him, but yet they did follow him, and God brought a tremendous victory in their life, brought him out of a mightier nation, the nation of Egypt, the most powerful nation on the earth at that time, and God rescued these slaves through his mighty hand of power through the leadership of Moses. So on a human level, when they're going to go in and possess the land, it seems as if Moses is the one that they need the most. They don't need him to be dead. They need him to be alive to come in to bring even greater victory as they come into now seven nations that they're going to have to fight. If at any time this nation on the surface appeared to need Moses, was now. But that was not God's plan, was it? God allowed Moses to die. Actually, because of his disobedience, as he misrepresented the Lord. The Lord said, "You're not going into the promised land." And in the end of the book of Deuteronomy, it says he went up to Mount Nebo, and that's where the Lord buried him, and he died there in that spot. So now God raises up the next person in line, which is Joshua, which we looked at last week, and how God raised him up. Now, one of the things that I want you to see from this verse is, as important as Moses is to the nation of Israel, God is more important, and God is not dependent upon Moses or any other human leader. And from time to time, God will allow his servants to die. God will allow works to die, but yet his work that he's wanting to accomplish in the earth will not stop or cease. And sometimes people get too much of an emotional attachment to a pastor or to a certain leader or to a group of people and say, the only way we're going to come into the fullness of God, of God's blessing, is we have this leader or it's through this group of people. That's nonsense. That means God would be dependent upon that individual or those group of people. I'm very thankful for the Bible study that God raised up where I was saved from. But you know what? It died. It's no longer in existence. God's work has continued. God's work has continued in my life and in other people's lives. So he's not dependent upon that group of people or that movement. God's work depends upon himself. And unfortunately, we have people that are involved in a group and maybe a loyalty to a certain leader, and that leader dies or whatever happens, and they just kind of stop in their progress in the things of Jesus Christ. That's nonsense. I've learned that my loyalty has to be to God and his kingdom, and that's it. I don't have a loyalty to people. To a degree, yes, but compared to my loyalty to God's work and his kingdom, that's what is most important. And the ministry that God's called me to has nothing to do with anyone else sitting in this room, how you're going to respond to it or what you're going to do in life. It has everything to do with my obedience to the Lord himself. And I want to come into the fullness of what God has, whoever would follow with me. There may be opposition, who knows what the future holds, but I need to move forward, and I can't base it on someone else going with me. That would include my spouse. You know, God forbid, it's possible that I could, my wife could die, I could die, God's work is going to continue. I could lose the life of one of my children, which would be very mournful and distressful, as it was for the nation of Israel, but God's work has to continue. You can't let anything or anyone or any movement or any emotional attachment you have to slow your progress down.